Welcome to Elected, a podcast for women and our active accomplices in politics. I'm your host, Sarah Elder Chaminara. And today, my very special guest in Madam Premier is the Minister of National Defense and the MP for Oakville, Anita Anand. Hi, Anita.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
I'm so happy to be here, as you can see.
I'm very happy too. So before we get started, so in the spirit of reconciliation, it's important for me to share my personal commitment to learning the history of colonialism and the ongoing systemic violence and oppression against Indigenous peoples. The land where I live, work, and record from is the traditional territories of the Blackfoot Confederacy, the Siksika, Kainai, Piikani, the Tsuut'ina, the Stoney Nakoda Nations, Métis Nation Region 3, and all people who make their homes in the Treaty 7 region of Southern Alberta. So I'm very honored that you are here today and you're taking the time to talk with me. And I know we're short on time, so we'll just, just jump into it. So we were chatting before we started recording about you haven't been in politics very long. So how did you make the transition from not political life to getting involved in politics?
You know, someone asked me if I wanted to run. And I was really happy in my academic job at the University of Toronto. I had been teaching my favorite courses, which were securities law, corporate law, and advanced corporate and securities law. And it was the life that I had aimed for decades. And once I was asked to run, I initially, like many women, say no. I said no. And it wasn't the right time for me. And in fact, I was very happy in my job. And it was very compatible with my life. I have four children. They're adults now, but it's still a very busy household. And so over the course of weeks, more and more people were encouraging me to really think about it. And so I really did think about it. And in the end, I decided to give it a shot. And the real kicker came when the local candidate, who was a Liberal, decided not to run in my riding. Husband said, the door is open, you should walk through it. And so I did, with his and my family's encouragement. And I won't say that I knew right away that this was the right decision, because everything was so new. I had to run for the nomination, which was contested, and then going to your first election after being successful in the nomination. That these are all brand new experiences. And I was just trying to cope for the first time with all of them. But looking back now, I realize that over the past 2.5 years, my objective was to try to do more for Canadians, more than I was able to do as an academic.
Well, and I definitely think you've overshot that, because in your role, well, in your previous ministry, during the pandemic and procuring COVID vaccines for our entire country. And I will say specifically, I'm very grateful as a mom of a 3- and 5-year-old that we finally have access to pediatric vaccines in Canada. It was an overwhelming sense of relief to see my 5-year-old have that needle in his arm and know that he has some level of protection. But then also to be the Minister of National Defense. And now, I mean, the world is at a very, it's in a really difficult stage, I'd say, in terms of Afghanistan, Ukraine. There are so many different conflicts going on. But so Canada's role in, you know, in defending democracy has taken on a different light. So you've been to, for example, to Ukraine, to Kyiv. You've met, you know, people there. Like, what is that experience like, you to go from being an academic, but then to being, you know, for example, on the ground in Ukraine? Like, do you have these moments where you're like, this is an other world experience?
Oh, most definitely. And I'll just say that, you know, maybe we'll just talk about procurement for a minute and then move to national defense. But when I first became the procurement minister, you know, a colleague said, don't worry, you're going to be in the background. Nobody's going to know who you are. You won't have to do many press conferences, and this is going to be a very good way for you to get to know government operations. And then the pandemic hit and people started asking, do we have a procurement minister? And so I did have to very quickly come to learn a bunch of skills that I didn't know I would need so quickly.
Mm.
But on the other hand, we have a wonderful group of caucus members, cabinet ministers, and of course the prime minister. And it is a very positive team that encourages each other. So I was able to really rely on my colleagues, and I hope they rely on me too, because that's really how government functions best.
Well, maybe your nickname could be Minister of Delivery, like, and getting it done, because you certainly did.
Well, I'll just say that there were lots of stressful moments.
I'm sure.
But the key was to keep the pressure on in terms of vaccine suppliers, to never ever let up,
mm-hmm.
because we knew how competitive the global marketplace was for vaccines. And while we had the contracts in place, it was really all about the deliveries and to stress Canada's position each and every day and week and month until we were able to ensure by the middle of July 2021 that there were enough vaccines for all Canadians to have two shots. And so it was a huge honor to be able to play that role in our government, again, with the fantastic team at Health Services and Procurement Canada, my Deputy Minister, Bill Matthews. And then as, you know, in terms of national defense, you know, I'm a nostalgic person. So, of course, I have nostalgia for my time at PSBC, but by the same token, I am really, really enjoying the challenge that the Ministry of National Defense presents. The challenge that I came into the portfolio fully expecting to be the one that I must address, and indeed I'm still addressing, is ensuring that there is culture change in the Canadian Armed Forces, where every person feels safe, respected, and protected when they put up a uniform for this country. And we have done some work on making sure that, for example, victims and survivors of sexual misconduct have their cases transferred from the military justice system to the civilian justice system. But there's way more to continue to walk that road with the assistance of the Narbour report, which was delivered earlier this year. But then the war hit, February 24th, and my life changed, and our lives changed, and the world changed with Russia's further invasion of Ukraine. And Canada has become known around the world as one of the leaders in aid to Ukraine, including over $600 million of military aid for Ukraine. And when Jens Stoltenberg, the Secretary General of NATO, was here in Alberta this weekend, he referred to Canada's leading role terms of military, economic, and humanitarian aid for Ukraine, because after all, we were training Ukrainian soldiers since 2015. We didn't come to the table late in the game. We knew that this was an issue. We've trained over 33,000 Ukrainian soldiers since 2015, and now we are sending Canadian soldiers, indeed from Alberta itself, to train Ukrainian new recruits in England. So this role, like procurement, has enabled me to give back to Canada in a way that my mom always encouraged us to do. And I just very much enjoy working with the team around the table.
Well, I think what you've given back is immense. And I'm grateful for your service and for what you've done and, you know, the sacrifices that not only you make, but also your family. To do this job and to travel as well as your staff. You know, it's not always an easy life. And as we've seen this week recently in Alberta, it's an ever-changing ecosystem, especially for women in politics and racialized people specifically, also in the media. So, you know, if there's, because we don't have a lot of time today, but you know, if there was someone listening to this who thinks maybe there isn't a place for them in politics, what would you, and coming off of the events of this week in Alberta, what would you say to them to just to, in light of everything that's going on?
So I'm a racialized woman, and when I was in that decision-making phase of whether I should run for public office, many people told me that it was not possible for a Visible Minority to be elected in, which is my riding. And that was quite disheartening, because it is your peers, your colleagues, and your society exemplifying the lack of faith. But I decided to turn it around and have faith in that society and in myself. And so I decided to run to see whether it would be possible. What I learned from that experience is that sometimes you have to block the negativity and the voices that tell you that you can't do something. And you have to dig deep inside yourself and listen to that voice in your heart that says, keep going, keep trying, you can do this. And that's a lesson my mom taught us when I think about our youth. It's a lesson I hope I'm passing down to my own kids. But I would say to anyone thinking about entering politics or any other profession, frankly, keep going. Listen to your inner voice, and there is a place for you in our communities, in our organizations, in our society. Lots of government, university. This is all of our country. Should all participate in this function.
Yeah, I think that's key, is that it's all of our country. Whether you've been here for a week, a day, a month, or your entire life, it's yours. And that sense of community and connectedness is something that we've had a hard time with over the last couple of years, but hopefully we'll be able to find it again. But also your message is just so important, I think, specifically for girls who will see you and, you know, have seen you on TV and, you know, who will grow up aspiring to be you one day. And that's, you know,
that's really nice. Yeah. Sarah, I don't think of myself that way because it's very much a new part of my professional life. I was in academia for over 20 years.
Yeah.
But by the same token, if I could play that role for next generation of politicians or scholars or women professionals across the spectrum of Canadian society, it would be a real honor to do so.
Well, I think you are doing it. So on behalf of, you know, Canadian women, thank you for everything that you've done for not only for the idea of seeing it to be it, but for your job and procurement and now in national defense. For the military, and we know that these things need to change, and it's people like you who are going to make that happen.
Well, thank you, Sarah, but don't underestimate the role that you yourself are playing here in this wonderful organization. So thank you for all you do. I'm honored to be here.
I can't take it. But thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Oh, thanks.